ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 26, entitled Fundamental Principles of Material Nature. Text number 3. Anadiratma Purusho,
Anadiratma Purusho,
Nirguna Prakrite Paraha,
Nirguna Prakrite Paraha,
Pratyak Dhamma Swayam Jyotir,
Pratyak Dhamma Swayam Jyotir,
Vishyam Yena Samanyutam,
Vishyam Yena Samanyutam,
अनादिरात्म पुरुषो निर्गुण प्रकृते परः प्रत्यक् धाम स्वयं ज्योतिर् विश्वं येन समन्वितम् अनादिरात्म पुरुषो निर्गुण प्रकृते परः प्रत्यक् धाम स्वयं ज्योतिर् Vishyam yena samanyutam. Word to a translation. Anadihi, without a beginning. Atma, the Supreme Soul. Purushaha, the personality of Godhead. Nirgunaha, transcendental to the material modes of nature. Prakritehe paraha, beyond this material world. Pratyak dhamma, perceivable everywhere. Swayam jyotihi, self-effulgent. Vishwam, the entire creation. Yena, by whom? Samanvitam, is maintained. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Soul and He has no beginning. He is transcendental to the material modes of nature and beyond the existence of this material world. He is perceivable everywhere because He is self-effulgent, and by His self-effulgent luster, the entire creation is maintained. Purport by So we have a long purport, so we need really attentive listening to get something, otherwise one can really lose track of it. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described as being without beginning. He is Purusha, the Supreme Spirit. Purusha means person. When we think of a person in our present experience, that person has a beginning. This means that he has taken birth and that there is a history from the beginning of his life. But the Lord is particularly mentioned here as anadi, beginningless. If we examine all persons, we will find that everyone has a beginning. But when we approach a person who has no beginning, he is the Supreme Person. That is the definition given in the Brahma Samhita. Ishvara Parama Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna, the Supreme Controller. He is without beginning and He is the beginning of everyone. This definition is found in all Vedic literatures. So if you see the purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining pretty much word by word. You know, first couple of words are explained in each paragraph. So this is the first one, mainly explaining the word anadi. And also, to some degree, you know, Atma Purusha also. Second paragraph is, the Lord is described as the soul or spirit. So here, Atma is explained. The Lord is described as the soul or spirit. What is the definition of the spirit? Spirit is perceivable everywhere. Brahman means great. His greatness is perceived everywhere. And what is that greatness? Consciousness. We have personal experience of consciousness for it is spread all over the body. In every hair follicle of our body, we can feel consciousness. This is the individual consciousness. Similarly, there is super consciousness. The example can be given of a small light and the sunlight. The sunlight is perceived everywhere, even within the room or in the sky. But the small light is experienced within a specific limit. Similarly, our consciousness is perceived within the limit of our particular body. But the super consciousness or the existence of God is perceived everywhere. He is present everywhere by His energy. It is stated in the Vishnu Purana that whatever we find anywhere and everywhere is the distribution of the energy of the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita also, it is confirmed that the Lord is all-pervading and exists everywhere by His two kinds of energy, one spiritual and the other material. Both the spiritual and material energies are spread everywhere, and that is a proof of the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The existence of consciousness everywhere is not temporary. It is without beginning, and because it is without beginning, it is also without end. The theory that consciousness develops at a certain stage of material combination is not accepted herein, for the consciousness which exists everywhere is said to be without beginning. The materialistic or the atheistic theory stating that there is no soul, that there is no God, and that consciousness is the result of a combination of matter is not acceptable. Matter is not beginningless. It has a beginning. As this material body has a beginning, the universal body does also. And as our material body has begun on the basis of our soul, the entire gigantic universal body has begun on the basis of the Supreme Soul. The Vedanta Sutra says, Janmadhyasya, the entire material exhibition, its creation, its growth, its maintenance, and its dissolution is an emanation from the Supreme Person. In Bhagavad Gita also, the Lord says, I am the beginning, the source of birth of everything. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described here. He is not a temporary person, nor does He have a beginning. He is without a cause, and He is the cause of all causes. Para means transcendental, beyond the creative energy. The Lord is the creator of the creative energy. We can see that there is a creative energy in the material world, but He is not under this energy. He is Prakriti Paraha, beyond this energy. He is not subjected to the threefold miseries created by the material energy, because He is beyond it. The modes of material nature does not touch Him. It is explained herein. Swayam Jyotihi, He is light Himself. We have experience in the material world of one light being a reflection of another, just as moonlight is a reflection of the sunlight. Sunlight is also the reflection of the Brahma Jyoti. Similarly, Brahma Jyoti, the spiritual effulgence, is a reflection of the body of the Supreme Lord. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Yasya Prabha Prabhavataha. The Brahma Jyoti or Brahman effulgence is due to His bodily luster. Therefore, it is said here, Swayam Jyotihi, He Himself is the light. His light is distributed in different ways, as the Brahma Jyoti, as sunlight and moonlight. Bhagavad Gita confirms that in the spiritual world, there is no need of sunlight, moonlight or electricity. The Upanishads also confirm this, because the bodily luster of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is sufficient to illuminate the spiritual world. There is no need of sunlight, moonlight or any other light or electricity. This self-illumination also contradicts the theory that the spirit soul or the spiritual consciousness develops at a certain point in material combination. The term Swayam Jyotihi indicates that there is no tinge of anything material or any material reaction. It is confirmed here that the concept of the Lord's all-pervasiveness is due to His illumination everywhere. We have experience that the sun is situated in one place, but the sunlight is diffused all around for millions and millions of miles. That is our practical experience. Similarly, although the Supreme Light is situated in His personal abode, Vaikuntha or Vrindavan, His light is diffused not only in spiritual world, but beyond that. In the material world also, that light is reflected by the sun globe, and sunlight is reflected by the moon globe. Thus, although He is situated in His own abode, His light is distributed all over the spiritual and material worlds. The Brahma Samhita 5.37 confirms this. Goloka eva nivasati akhilatma bhutaha. He is living in Goloka, but still He is present all over the creation. He is the super soul of everything, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And He has innumerable transcendental qualities. It is also concluded that although He is undoubtedly a person, He is not a Purusha of this material world. Mayavadi philosophers cannot understand that beyond this material world, there can be a person. Therefore, they are impersonalists. But it is explained very nicely here that the personality of Godhead is beyond material existence. It's a very wonderful purport, very powerful purport. ओम ज्ञानतिम्रांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा We'll try to speak a few explanations and descriptions based on this verse and purport. First, we will try to understand why the characteristics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is mentioned in this purport in the very beginning of creation. So here, we can see that the main point that is established in this verse and purport is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is beyond the three material modes. So, by establishing that the Supreme Lord is beyond three material modes or beyond matter, that removes any kinds of doubt one may have to think that He is subjected to matter in terms He is subjected to any material deficiencies, and also He is subjected to any kind of sufferings that a conditioned living entity go through. So that is the point number one. So by establishing that the Lord is beyond matter or beyond the three modes of material nature, we can understand He is beyond any material defects, and also He is beyond any material sufferings that we go through. Second point, we can understand that it is important to establish a creator beyond the creation, because the creation in itself is not exposing a creator. Isn't it right? If the creation is not exposing a creator explicitly. For example, if you go to a field and there may be grains, maybe wheat or rice. You can get the wheat or rice, you can see the plant, you can see the soil, you can see the water, you can see the nutrients. But that doesn't establish the creator. That doesn't explain the characteristics of the creator, or the farmer in this case. So the creator is beyond the creation, and the creation doesn't explain the creator. we cannot understand the characteristics of the Creator from the creation. That's not possible. So it's impossible to establish the Creator before the creation. And third, it is even more interesting and it's even more deeper that there is a Purusha or there is a Supreme Person who is enacting his pastimes or Leela. So when we talk about the Leela, when we talk about the pastime, there has to be a person, and we cannot misunderstand or misconstrue the position of the person who is enacting the pastimes just by seeing the pastime. So it is important to establish his supreme position. Say, for example, in Damodarashtakam that we sing every day during this Kartik month, it is Ashtakam. Ashtakam means there are 8 verses. In the first verse in itself, the first line is Namamisharam Sachidananda Rupam. So what is the first line? First line is establishing the position of Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Ishara, he is the Supreme Controller. And his body is made of Sachidananda. It is eternal, it is all blissful, and it is all knowledgeable. So it is establishing, because from the next line onwards, the Damodarashtakam is presenting the sweet pastimes of Krishna. So one shouldn't misunderstand who is this boy. So second line, it's literally Lasat Kundalam. He's talking about his kundalam, his earrings, which are swinging to and fro. So one may think, you know, he's just a boy. And then Mother Yashoda is kissing, Mother Yashoda is running after him. So one may misunderstand his position. So to clarify, in the beginning itself, the position of the Supreme Lord is established. In the same way here, we will see it is a pastime that is going to enact, which is Srishti, which is creation. So before that, the Lord's position separate from the creation, and also his greatness is established. We can see the same principle even in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We can see it in the Bhagavad Gita itself. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is addressed as Achyuta to indicate that Krishna never falls down from his position, even though he is acting as the chariot driver of Arjuna, his own devotee. Similarly, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, especially where Rasleela and other intimate pastimes of Krishna are taking place, Krishna is many times addressed as Achyuta. Why? One shouldn't misconstrue that, okay, he is an ordinary person who is enacting his lusty affairs just like any other ordinary being. So to establish that point, Achyuta is being used. Even in the Rasleela pastime of Krishna, the end of Rasleela, the last verse which is spoken by Sukadeva Goswami is also very important. It is starting from Vikriditam Vrajavadhubir Itamda Vishnoho. So there it is mentioned that if one hears with faith Krishna's pastimes with these young cowherd girls, the gopis, one's lust will be removed from the heart forever. And that too, this will happen very immediately. Hridrogam ashu abahinoti achirena dhiraha. Hridrogam, this lust is called as Hridrogam. Hridrogam means heart disease. So lust is the disease of the heart. We can see different kinds of diseases. You know, heart disease is very serious. You had to go to the emergency. You know, immediately if there is any problem, one will be taken to the emergency. Similarly, we have a terminal disease in one sense, and that is lust. So it is called Hridrogam. Hridrogam ashu apahinoti achirena dhiraha. However, this lust can be immediately removed by hearing pastimes of Krishna. And such a person is called dhiraha, a sober person. So it is to establish that the real hearing of pastimes of Krishna is to remove the lust from the heart. And that too, when we are talking about the highest pastime, we don't get into the details of the highest pastimes of Krishna. One may not think that, okay, I have this medicine, that is the Rasleela. It is the highest top class medicine. So I can relish this top class medicine so that I can immediately get cure from this disease. The problem is, this is a very powerful medicine. So if one is not qualified to take this medicine, once disease can aggravate. Say for example, there are some physical needs, physical requirements for accepting certain kind of medicines. If you don't have sufficient strength, some powerful medicines you cannot handle. Doctors won't give because it is too much. In the same way, Krishna's pastimes are necessary for us to hear. In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that for common discussion, for general discussion, public discussion, Krishna's childhood pastimes are the best. Because that is very attractive and it will not create lust in the heart. However, if a person who is not qualified gets on to the highest pastimes of Krishna, his affairs with the gopis, one's lust can be further aggravated. So that is the problem. So one has to be careful how one is taking the medicine. But however, it remains the medicine, and Shukadeva Goswami says at the end of Rasalila, if one is qualified and if one does take this medicine, immediately one will be relieved from the lust, and that is the highest medicine. So here again, the point comes that Kapiladev is going to establish and discuss the Srishti Leela. So Srishti is a Leela. It can be a bit shocking for us. Creation is a Leela. Because creation means we see suffering, right? Creation means the jivas are entangled in the bodies and the bodies are subjected to limitations and we do suffer in so many different ways. So from our point of view, it's not a leela. It's not a pastime. It's an encagement, right? We are encaged in the body and further we are suffering. But from the point of view of Krishna, it is Srishti Leela. So in the next verse, it is meant Abhyapadayata Leelaya. Leelaya. The word, next verse is used is Leelaya. So Krishna is going to enact the Srishti Leela, the pastime of creation. So for him, everything is enjoyment. Because what is Krishna doing? You know, the creation is such a simple thing for Krishna. In fact, usually I chant this verse before class. What is it? The Bhudair Mahadhir Ya Ima Puro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purushaha. He is lying down. Nirmaya Shete. Nirmaya means for the purpose of creation. What is he doing? He is just sleeping. Lying down and sleeping. Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purushaha. This Amusha Purushaha. This Purusha, the Supreme Lord, he is just lying down. Bhunte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmakaha. Shodashaka means 16. The prakriti is divided, the basic elements are divided into 16. So he is actually bhungte. The meaning of bhungte is used in two contexts. Bhungte is used to explain suffering and bhungte is used to explain enjoying. Okay? Say bhog, for example. Bhog is for enjoyment, right? So bhungte for the Lord, bhungte gunan. Krishna can enjoy the material world. He can enjoy the three modes of material nature. So the creation is a leela, is a sweet pastime of the Supreme Lord. That's why it is mentioned, bhungte gunan, shodasha shodaja asmakaha. Because it is, atmakaha means it is a manifestation of the modes of material nature. And so for the Lord, creation is nothing but a pastime and he can enjoy that pastime. And for us, the end result of creation, even though it is meant for transformation, we do feel suffering. Yes? So that is a reality. Now, here, even though it looks, we have heard this many times, anadihi, right? Anadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. We have heard this verse many times that the Lord doesn't have a beginning. At the same time, he is the beginning of everything. He doesn't have a cause, at the same time, he is the cause of everything. We have heard many times. And we think, you know, what is there? You know, so many times we have heard this. But the reality is that anadi, this term in itself is inconceivable, if you really think about it. Can we think about something which doesn't have a beginning? Really speaking, is it conceivable? Is it comprehensible to our mind? Our mind is limited. And can we understand something which doesn't have a beginning? We cannot. However, if we really realize, think about it, that we are also anadi. We don't have beginning. Not the material body, the soul. We don't have any beginning, and the Supreme Lord doesn't have the beginning. Suppose if we have this realization, what is the end result? At least we will become fearless. Yes or no? If we understand that we are eternal, if we realize that we are eternal, then we become completely fearless. But we don't. We still have the fear. What does that mean? We haven't realized, even though our mind, we are actually taking it for granted this time, anadi, you know, it's just no beginning. We heard so many times, but the meaning is such profound. And another point is even the materialist. Say, for example, you know, the atheistic guru, like, you know, Richard Dawkins, you know, one article I was reading, you know, he was addressed as a militant atheist. Militant atheist, because he was using the science to, you know, smash all the religions, all the belief systems. He's you know, giving speeches, and, you know, thousands and thousands of people are coming and attending these kind of atheistic conferences. So his point of view, and he wrote a book called God Delusion. And one another theist also wrote a book, Richard's Delusion. Or, you know, so we have to see who is deluded. So his point of view is that, point number one, you don't need a complex living being, a complex being behind the creation. The creation is complex, though. For the religion, there is a complex being who is behind the creation. Rather, we can have a simple start, a simple beginning of creation that further leads to complexities. And then he poses a very important question. He asks, who is the designer or who is the designer of this world? Or who is the creator of the creator? It is a strong statement, actually. One of the, you know, statements are pretty shallow. For a devotee, if you see, you know, what kind of question is this? He has written a big book. And one of the prime subject matter of discussion is, who is the creator of God? Who is the creator of creator? That is a very valid, it is assumed to be a very valid question. Even Christian scholars, they say, this is Richard Dawkins, his God. We are not Christians are telling, Christianity is not talking about this God. Even our God is eternal. So you cannot talk about a creator of the creator. So here the same point is coming. Anadi, he doesn't have any beginning. By definition, God doesn't have any beginning. He doesn't have any creator because he is eternally existing. So are we. In this purport, two kinds of energies are mentioned. What are they? One is spiritual and one is material. Because that's how the Lord is pervading the whole world. So even the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, we can hear this, you know, two kinds of energy, you know, bhumira, panara, vayu, earth, water, fire, ether, etc. One kind of energy. Ghamano buddhrevacha, ahankara mitiyame, bhinna pradhrashtada. Then the second energy Krishna mentions, that is, apareyam idastanyam prakritim vidhi mahapara jiva bhuta mahabaho yeyetam dhairyate jagat. There is a higher energy, which is the consciousness, the living entity. So there are two. If you see the whole entire creation, there are only two kinds of energies. One is the matter and one is the spirit. As simple as that. Through which the Lord is pervading. And Srila Prabhupada very clearly mentions in this purport that the atheistic propaganda that the consciousness has a material beginning is not acceptable in the Vedic scriptures. So it is a reality. Even according to scientists, there are three classes of scientists. One class, they say that consciousness is made of matter and we haven't proved it, or we have almost proved it. If not, we will prove in the future. So that is one class of scientists. Second class of scientists, they say, they admit that we don't know. We don't know. We can experience consciousness, but we don't know what it is. So we cannot say what is its origin. We cannot say it is from matter or beyond. We can't say because we don't know. And there is a third class of scientists who say that consciousness is not made of matter, it is beyond matter. But we cannot prove because it is beyond us. Because it is not of matter, so we cannot prove it with material techniques. So there are three classes of scientists when it even comes to consciousness. There is no unanimous agreement that consciousness is made of matter, even in the scientific community. So Srila Prabhupada is making it very clear that this atheistic propaganda is unacceptable. Right? And here, many of the so-called scientists, they say that why we don't need a God? Because it's already been explained by the science. Everything is coming from natural selection. Everything is coming from Darwinian evolution. It's already been proven. That is a scientific argument. Especially the militant scientists who are atheists. If you see science in itself, if you see, it's not atheistic or theistic as such. If you see, try to understanding matter, it's not just analyzing the matter. It's not really against God or it's not for God. But for the atheists, they take that as a tool to negate God. So that is the point. So it is not really, science is atheistic. It's not right. But people use science to spread atheism. So here again, the point is, how does it make sense to say that the theory of evolution has proven everything, when even in the scientific community there is no wide acceptance? It's partial. So this is the state of affair, and still they propagate it's everything is being proven. So that's the one extreme mentality of the science. Then it is all been proven. There was an atheistic conference in Melbourne a few years back, atheist conference, and I saw a group of people from the atheist conference. Participants came to Gopal's. So they had their lunches in Gopal's few days. And there were a few dignitaries from the conference, atheists. And alongside, there was a Buddhist monk also. Because they're also atheists. They don't accept God too. So they came and they had prasadam in Gopal's. Every day they were coming to Gopal's, they were having prasadam. So I was thinking, it's a nice arrangement of Krishna. They are atheists. And they have come in Melbourne for the atheistic conference. And now they are coming to Gopal's and they are taking Krishna, basically Krishna Prasadam. So we don't need to really preach. The Prasadam is doing the preaching. So this is, the Prasadam is so powerful. Some people say, we don't believe in religion. We don't like you, but we like your Prasadam. Have you seen this kind of people? We don't like you. We don't like you people. We don't even believe in religion. But we like your food. That's enough. This is how Krishna tricks. Krishna is allowing to trick everyone. Krishna can trick even the atheists in this way. So this is, in one sense, it's an unfortunate situation of the world, because people are spending millions of dollars to propagate atheism. And he was holding a chair in the Oxford University for many years, for decades, and being paid awesomely for so many decades. So this is unfortunate situation. And at the same time, as devotees, we can see very thoroughly, especially in Krishna consciousness, we can see very thoroughly how our philosophy is all-encompassing. It is very powerful. In this purport in itself, Srila Prabhupada writes, one point very much struck me: the Lord is the creator of the creative energy. The Lord is the creator of the creative energy. So when we talk about God, He is not a God who is Himself manufacturing everything. That is, okay, I want a human being, now He creates the body of a human being. Now I want an animal, I'll create the body of an animal. Krishna doesn't have to do that personally. He is the creator of the creative energy, and the creative energy can do the job. Bhagavad Gita 9:10, Mayatyakshena pragadisuyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. This verse, even though we have heard many times, I'll mention a few important aspects. This material nature, which is one of my energies, we have to understand this point, it is one of my energies, the Lord has multifarious energies, one of my energies is working under my direction. So this energy is working under my direction. He doesn't have to directly do anything, but it will work under his direction. That's why it is Maya Adhyakshena. He is the Adhyaksh. And, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings, under its rule, it's a very important point, under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Under its rule is very important. So when we have the material energy, when there is a material creation, the material rules, they take place. Everything is working on, according to the material rules. That the creation has its material rules. So the rules are part of the material energy. So when there is energy, the rules are also coming along. So there are rules governing the energy. It's not that the Lord has to directly interfere in everything. Not necessary. It is taken care. Of course, the Lord's presence is there. He is not directly creating everything or directly doing anything in this material world. But at the same time, He is Upadrishta, Anumandascha, Bharta, Bhokta, Maheshara. He is the Upadrishta. He is the witness. Anumanta, He sanctions. So it is simultaneously coexisting. That is, one time, in one sense, everything is in His control. But at the same time, He doesn't have to do anything. So this is the position of God. This is the position of Krishna. It is much complex than what we think. So the arguments of the atheist is that we need a complex being behind the creation, and that complex being who is God. He said, okay, let there be light. There was light. You know, let there be heat. There was heat. So He just desired and everything took place, which is true. There is nothing wrong in it. But when it comes to the Vedic literature, it actually presents a complex theory of creation also. It's not that Krishna is complex, of course, He's inconceivable, He's achintya. And at the same time, the creation in itself is complex. It's not a simplistic presentation of creation. Rather, it is giving the scope, it is giving the wide scope, that it is very sophisticated. And it is so sophisticated that human intelligence finds actually difficulty in understanding that. One devotee asked a senior Vaishnava, I want to understand this creation very well. Because, you know, if you want to understand creation, we study Bhagavatam, then take all the commentaries, read all the commentaries to understand all the creation. So he tried everything, but can understand something. It's not that you cannot understand anything. You can understand to a great degree, but you cannot understand everything. So he asked this devotee, senior devotee, how can I understand the whole creation? Srishti Leela. He said, if you strongly have the desire and if you are qualified, then you have to become a Brahma. Then you may understand to some degree creation. Because you need the intelligence of Brahma to understand creation. Right? Otherwise, how can you understand creation? Even Brahma cannot understand creation. Right? Even he gets stuck in between the creation. And he needs help of the Lord. So that complex is the creation. So when we see the complex theories of creation in the material world, we shouldn't be perplexed. We have to understand it is complex. And the Vedic presentation is even more complex. And there is always, at all stages, there is interference of the Lord. In the sense, He is providing His energy through His glands. And also, as in the purport it said, that in our body, you know, in our body there is a soul, that's why the whole body is enacting. In the same way, the Lord is present as the super soul of the entire creation. So the entire creation is working. He has to be present. So that is, in one sense, that simultaneously He is present and He is not present. Generally, if you do any activity, there will be a reaction to us. But the Lord, even though He does the entire creation, there is no effect. He has no effect on the creation. He has no effect on Himself. It doesn't affect Him. He is aloof from the creation. Even though the creation in itself is gigantic. Next, here it's Prabhupada writes that the Lord can be perceived through the consciousness, because the consciousness is spread everywhere. It's actually, this is how we preach. We understand there is material body, then we try to establish that there is a soul, right? There is something beyond the body. And once we speak about something which is beyond the body, which is consciousness, then we start to ask about what is the source of the consciousness. This is how we preach, basically. What is the source of consciousness? That is the supreme consciousness. So we establish systematically that, okay, there is matter, the body is made of matter, and there is something beyond matter, and that we can call as spirit, call as consciousness, atma, whatever. But as soon as we establish that point, then there has to be a source to that. And that is supreme consciousness, Krishna. So that is consciousness. And second, he is self-effulgent. Second point Prabhupada mentions is, he is pervading the entire universe through his energies. One is inanimate. Second, his consciousness. Third, light. How? The sun light we are getting, it is nothing but a reflection of Brahma Jyoti, which is emanating from the Supreme Lord's effulgence. So this is how the entire body is, entire world is in darkness if there is no sunlight. And sunlight is nothing but a reflection of the spiritual light, which is Brahma Jyoti. It is said, the Brahma Jyoti is just coming from the toenail of Krishna. That simple it is, Brahma Jyoti. Now, having said this, Krishna's body is self-effulgent. That's why when Krishna is enacting his pastime, when Krishna goes to steal butter in the dark chambers, dark inner chambers of Gopi's house, Krishna doesn't need a lamp. His body is self-effulgent. So he's able to go, he's able to break the pots, he's able to steal. Because the light is emanating from his body. So the Gopis are wondering, how is he able to see? He's able to see because his body is effulgent. So the Brahma, the Jyoti, the effulgence is coming from his body. Similarly, in the pastime of Mahaprabhu, what happened? The impersonalists are attracted to the light. Right? Even many people argue with Srila Prabhupada, Supreme is nothing but light. I was watching a video in which one gentleman, an Indian gentleman, was arguing with Srila Prabhupada that the Supreme is light. Prabhupada said, what? This is also light. He was pointing to the globe. This is also light. So the Supreme means that light. Then Prabhupada explained, there are different degrees of light. There is material light and there is spiritual light. And then people get stuck with the spiritual effulgence, the Brahman, the all-pervading. And beyond that is the Supreme Lord, because he himself is the light, because the light is emanating from him. It doesn't deny his personality. So that's why when the Prakashananda Saraswati, the great Mayavadi philosopher, impersonalist, who was very much in knowledge of the Shastra, and he was criticizing about Mahaprabhu when he was chanting and dancing in Banaras, in Varanasi, when he was chanting and dancing, he was telling, he is a bhavuka, he's a sentimental person. He's supposed to be a sannyasi, and why is he chanting and dancing just like a sentimentalist? He should study Vedanta and perform austerity, not just like jump up and down like a madman. So some of the devotees actually felt greatly painful hearing this, and they wanted a resolution to this. So they desired that the Lord comes and convert these Mayavadis into devotees. So to fulfill the desire of his devotees, Mahaprabhu came to Banaras after going to Vrindavan in his return. And there, by the arrangement of the Lord, one Brahmana, he invited Mahaprabhu and all other Mayavadi sannyasis to his home for prasadam. So Brahmana cooked, and first all this sannyasis were sitting on an elevated platform headed by Prakashananda Saraswati, who is the leader. Then Mahaprabhu went there, and Mahaprabhu sat where people are keeping their, washing their feet. Just like, you know, suppose we are all sitting here and chanting, one person is going out and sitting at the shoe stand and start chanting there. We'll feel, you know, Prabhu, you come here. You know, you feel a bit bad, you know, why is he sitting at such a lower position? So in the same way, Mahaprabhu, to show his humility and also to take some service from this Mayavadis, he accepted a lower position. And what he did? He emanated this Brahman effulgence from his body. He's already Gauranga. His body is golden luster, and you know, Radha Bhavadyuti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam. His body is Radha Bhavadyuti. There is a luster coming from his body already, but to attract these Mayavadis who are after light, he showed his Brahman effulgence. As the light was coming from Mahaprabhu's body, these Mayavadis, they started looking at Mahaprabhu. They got attracted, they got captivated. And Prakashananda Sarasvati, who is the leader himself, he walked down and he said, "Why are you sitting there? Young sannyasi, you come with us." And he took his hand and he pulled Mahaprabhu and took him to the higher platform. So then, Mahaprabhu, this is the point, because Mahaprabhu gave the Agyada Sukruti to this Mayavada sannyasi, Prakashananda Sarasvati. Just like we give a spoon of halwa, or you know, chanting and hearing, or a book sometimes, this Agyada Sukruti. Sometimes they don't choose to buy, they don't want anything. I was distributing books the other day. He was, "No, I don't. He was constantly telling, you know, "I know this person a little bit. I don't mean to buy this book. You know, I was asking, gave the book and asked, you know, "Yeah, give me $10. So he was telling, I don't mean to buy the book. You know, I don't want the book. You know, no, give me some money." Finally, he gave me $5. He really told it. You know, he was telling me, you know, constantly, "I really don't want to buy this book. You know, I didn't mean to buy this book." He was constantly telling this. I said, "It's okay, just give me $5. Give me some money. Give me some money." He gave the money. He took the book. This is like, some people don't want the book actually. They say they don't want the book. They buy it. So there are some people, interesting, they say that, if you go and walk on Sanderson Street or anywhere, I don't buy anything from the street. But this time, I have bought this book. I don't know what happened. They buy, they give the money, and then they tell, you know, "I don't know what happened." So this is actually, people don't want the book, but they don't know about the book also, no interest. But they are getting engaged in Krishna service. This is Agyada Sukruti. In the same way, Prakashananda Sarasvati got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Prakashananda Sarasvati asked, "Can you explain something? Why are you chanting and dancing? What happened?" Then Mahaprabhu explains everything in a very profound way. He removes all the doubts of the Mayavadis and he establishes that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he establishes that there is a person behind the effulgence. So he establishes. Then they all accepted, and it is said all of them became devotees. It is so amazing. That time, at least, is a very good quality they had, that if they lose an argument, if there is a debate, and if they lose in the debate, they used to accept the other person as the master. That much integrity was there. Now if you preach, what happens? We have to be ready for that. We can give all the argument, they may get completely smashed, then at the end what they say? "Oh, but no, I don't believe it." Walk away. They don't have any more argument, we explain everything. In one sense, they cannot do anything. You know, there is no argument. They have to accept and they have to actually follow, but they don't. They say, "No, that's your belief. Finally, that is your way of thinking." That's it. They just walk away. So these people, they had integrity. If you see that those past times, if you see the past times of Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu is, of course, is the Supreme Lord, but all of them, even in the Vedic times, even not necessarily with the Supreme Lord, if the scholars argue, if they get defeated, they used to accept the other as the master. They used to accept the authority. So that was the system. So that much integrity was there. Now that's not there. So we cannot expect a philosophical victory over people. It has to be more through service. It has to be more through prasadam, hearing everything slowly. We cannot expect most of the people, if we give the right philosophy, they're going to accept. It's not going to happen. They had to be qualified to accept that. The final point. Now, even though we said that the Lord is pervaded everywhere through His energy, and the Lord is present everywhere, still, as sadhakas, the difficulty that we face is, we always find a disjunction, a disconnect between Krishna and His energies. We separate Krishna and His energies, at least at times. We do separate Krishna and Krishna's devotees. We separate Krishna and sadhana. And we do separate Krishna and seva. Have you experienced sometimes? We are doing some service, But we think it's just a mundane activity. Why do we have to do it? Sometimes we even, devotees think that we are doing a favor for Krishna. By accepting the service, I am doing a favor for Krishna. Yeah, that basically, that is the next level. So at least there, at least acceptance of Krishna is there. But otherwise, we have a tendency to forget Krishna, a very strong tendency, or separate between the service and Krishna. When we chant, the name is known different from Krishna, we have all tendencies to separate Krishna and Krishna's name. So even though we say that, okay, atheism is about seeing only one side of the coin, and for devotees as sadhakas, even though we see the both sides, we find a disjunction between these two. So this is something we have to consciously work on. Say for example, Srila Prabhupada says one can glorify the holy name before chanting. So he gives a couple of verses, one from the 10th canto, one a verse by Rupa Goswami. And he says, one is Nikhila Shruti Maulidya Mala, that verse. Second one is the Nirvata Darshi Rupa Mala, the second chapter of 10th canto, Demigod's Prayer. So he gives the couple of verses to glorify the holy name. So that we, and before chanting, we know something about the glories of the holy name. Okay, it is mentioned, Mukta Kulair Upavasyamanam Paridastvam Harinama Samshriyami. The holy name is even worshipped by the liberated souls. Not just the sadhakas. Even Narada Muni, Ishukadeva Goswami, they are liberated. Even they are chanting Krishna's names. So, it's encouraging us. Okay, now we are in the position of a sadhaka. So, at least understand the glory of the holy name. So, fix the mind in the holy name. Like that. Even Rupa Goswami in the Upadeshamrita says, since we are afflicted by the jaundice of ignorance, we don't have any taste for the sugar candy. But the medicine, because we are afflicted by the bile, so because the cure for the jaundice is taking the sugar candy. In the same way, the cure for the ignorance is chanting the holy name, even though we may not have any taste. But even though no taste, still the medicine works. Many times we do take the medicine which doesn't have any taste, right? We say, you know, the medicine, if you have a pill, we don't say to the doctor, I had to bite and, you know, it has no taste. That's okay, just take the medicine. In the same way, holy name, even though initially we may not have any taste, we need to take the medicine because eventually taste is going to come. That is a reality one can experience in one's own life. So it will not remain just as a theory, it's a reality. So that's why it is mentioned that as we progress in our devotion life, we try to see more and more connection between the holy name and Krishna. Initially, there is a whole disconnect between holy name and Krishna himself. But as we progress, we understand both are same. We get more and more realization on this particular point. And that is the very important, that's how we can actually judge our advancement. How much are we separating Krishna and Krishna's holy name? So it is applicable to other spectrum also, but it actually culminates in this point. How much are we separating Krishna and his holy name? So as we can see in this purport and this verse, the Supreme Lord's position is established as beyond the material nature. And it is shown that how he's all pervading through his consciousness and through his effulgence. And then finally, we can also see that he is the personality who is having all the spiritual qualities, and that's why even though he doesn't have any material qualities and he's beyond the material qualities, he has all spiritual qualities. He's Gunatma. He's beyond all material qualities but having all spiritual qualities. And that those qualities devotees glorify. So I stop here and see if there are any quick questions or comments. We are already overboard on time. Thank you very much, Granthashyamal Bhagavatam Ki.